IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Every lead story on every news site is about Turkey. Turkey and northern Syria. Aleppo, completely, the city of Aleppo in Syria, completely devastated. Two earthquakes taking place yesterday in Turkey. One was at around about 4 a.m. when people were sleeping. Buildings were collapsing. We've also got a follow-up, an actual quake. It wasn't even a tremor. A 7.5, around about 1:30 p.m. yesterday afternoon. A lot of people were out of buildings at that time, but there are still many, many people who are injured. And, you know, when there's a big earthquake, it often can trigger other earthquakes. So I thought, well, instead of me talking nonsense, let me speak to an expert. So Dr. David Causa, he's a geophysicist and executive manager at the Council for Geoscience. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to the listeners. I'm very well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for making time to speak to me this morning. What are the chances of these two earthquakes triggering others in the region?
Yeah, so generally what we would expect is that, you know, following one major earthquake, you would have what we call aftershocks. So these are earthquakes of relatively lesser magnitude. Even in this case, you had some really big ones that are still aftershocks. And this essentially would result from the main quake as the rock slowly releases energy from the movement. So that's generally what we would expect from, you know, aftershocks following a major earthquake. Now, could they trigger earthquakes in other regions? It's highly unlikely in a sense that, you know, some people have suggested that this might be related to some of the earthquakes that are happening, you know, in the northern parts of Europe. And that's highly unlikely because, you know, simply because of the distance. And we know exactly why it happened in this area, and Turkey is quite prone to them.
So how is it that we don't hear about earthquakes more often in that region? Because, I mean, essentially you've got three continents that are converging all in one place.
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, we don't hear about them, but we know about them, right? So we only hear about earthquakes when they cause significant damage, like the one that happened yesterday. You know, in 2020, Turkey registered some, you know, 300 earthquakes, a lot of them with magnitude over 4. But because they don't necessarily cause a lot of damage, you know, we don't see them on the news. But yeah, for these earthquakes, you know, one measuring 7.8 and followed by even bigger, or not even bigger, but lesser one of magnitude 7.6 and 6, those are still very large earthquakes. In South Africa, the biggest earthquake we've had was about 6.3, and that was in the 60s. So you can imagine, you know, this devastation that a 7.8 magnitude earthquake would cause.
Well, the videos on the news are just absolutely devastating, and to see these buildings come down. Why is it so difficult to predict earthquakes?
Yeah, so it boils down to how earthquakes happen. Right. So in a case of Turkey, it sits on essentially, you know, three continental blocks that move past one another. Now, these blocks move at a rate of about, you know, 15 millimeters a year. So it takes a very long time for the strain to build up when it comes to before the earthquake happens. And it makes it very, very difficult to predict when. And that is simply because it takes such a long time for the strain in the rock to build up as these plates move past one another, as they move underneath one another.
Okay. And we seem to have really got down on tsunami warnings. How is that different?
So for tsunami warnings, so if you have an earthquake happening in the ocean, many scientific organizations, including in South Africa, they've come together to install essentially buoys in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So when you have an earthquake happening in the ocean, it triggers obviously wave movement, right? And these buoys record the almost the height of the wave and the speed in which the wave is moving. And we know and we monitor these on a 24-hour basis from all the instruments around the world. So when we see abnormalities in wave movement, we generally can attribute that to an earthquake having happened in the ocean. And because it happened so far away from the land masses, we almost have some sort of an advanced pre-warning system that tells us to expect these type of waves in this part of the world around this time. So there we have a little bit of an advanced warning simply because it happens so far out from the inland, and the waves take time to reach the shoreline.
Okay. All right. That all makes sense. Do animals behave differently around, you know, before an earthquake? They certainly did in the 2004 tsunami. You know, animals were behaving, and also I think before volcanic eruptions also, animals also behave strangely. Does that not happen before an earthquake?
So I don't have definitive evidence of animals behaving differently. I've have read and I have seen in some places birds acting weirdly, but I'm not necessarily convinced that this is the result of an earthquake. And I know, you know, animals obviously would react if there's any motion or if there's any if there's any significant noise. But certainly before an earthquake, I'm not aware of any weird animal behavior that we could attribute to an earthquake.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Khoza.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. David Khoza, geophysicist and executive manager at the Council for Geoscience. And that does become, you know, predicting earthquakes does become the big challenge and should certainly be the conversation.